Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had the experience of reading a book or watching a movie and you see the characters on the screen and you become emotional because you're identifying with one of the characters? One of the characters really sticks out in your mind and you can really relate with them as you're following their journey as they go through the ups and downs of the story. It can really grab our attention. There's a story today that Jesus tells, a parable, and there are several characters in that parable, the father, the older son, and the younger son. The question that I would pose is, as you hear this story, as we go through this story, which son might you identify with, the older son or the younger son? That's one question I want you to ponder as we go through this. And it's a powerful, powerful, and very familiar story, but an incredible story of God's amazing love. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, gives us the context of this story. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable." We've got two groups of people. We've got the sinners, the tax collectors, those people. And then we also have the Pharisees on this side. And they are criticizing Jesus for hanging out with these people over here. So Jesus gives them a series of parables. Now, you might have noticed in your bulletin that we actually cut to the third parable. There are two parables which Jesus gives before this parable, which I explained in the children's message, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. Jesus does a progression of parables, and that brings us to the third parable, which we look at today. The parable, which is sometimes called the lost son, other times it's called the prodigal son. The prodigal son. Merriam-Webster defines the word prodigal as follows. Quote, "characterized by profuse or wasteful expenditure." Another way of putting it is lavish, or the context is that this man is squandering his wealth. He's reckless. That's the word you see in the ESV, our translation, and it's a word asatos in Greek, which basically means lavish, reckless, squandering. So that's where we get the name of the commonly called story, the prodigal son. But I suggest, as you listen to this story, that we might have a better or a different title for this story today. So I want to keep those two things in our mind. First of all, as you hear this story, think about which son might you identify with. And secondly, note that there might be a better title for this story than the prodigal son. With that in mind, we start looking through our parable. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 tells us this. "And he said, 'There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them." This is unheard of. This is crazy. Usually, when you get an inheritance, the person that is offering the inheritance is usually dead first. But the younger son says, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance." And in that day and age, he would have gotten about one-third of his father's property and goods. The older son would have gotten two-thirds, and the younger son would have gotten one-third. But we're guessing this is a pretty wealthy guy, and so he's getting a large chunk of change, and then he goes off. It seems that he really only cares about the money. As far as his father, he might as well say, "Father, you might as well be dead. All I want is your money. See you around, Pops. I'm out of here." So he heads out. Luke chapter 15, 13. "Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living." Imagine the father as he's there watching the son head off. The son really not caring about the father, basically saying, "Got the money, I'm out of here." And then he goes off and this young man squanders his wealth. Let's just say that budget wasn't in his vocabulary. Some of you have heard of Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University. This dude never went through that course. And he didn't know about saving, about using money wisely. It says he squandered his property in reckless living. And honestly, we can only expect what this young man was doing with the money burning a hole in his pocket. Now, based on what the older brother says later on, we think that he might have gotten himself involved with prostitutes. So think in your mind that this man is like on the strip and at Las Vegas. Going down the strip of Las Vegas, the lights and the colorful characters and the environment, and there he is throwing dollar bills left and right, and he might have gotten for himself a group of temporary quote-unquote friends, because you know, when you come into a lot of money, sometimes you come into a lot of friends, and they're off together partying. I could just imagine him coming into a big bar saying, "Drinks on me, everybody!" And everybody's gathering around, and they're just celebrating and toasting, and he's messing around with the ladies, and all his money is quickly draining away. Perhaps he saw a new donkey, a Rolls Royce donkey, and he said, "I'm going to get that donkey. That's mine with all the accessories. I want all the donkey accessories. Give them to me. I don't care what the price is." You know, the sandals that he wore, he got some Hugo Boss sandals, an Armani robe, and he was all decked out having a great time, and he was the life of the party, at least for a while. Luke chapter 15, 14 tells us, "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything." This man went from living high on the hog to working in a pig pen. His lavish living was turned into feeding pigs, but not even having the food that the pigs would eat. You know those friends, those quote-unquote friends that he had? I could just imagine saying, "Well, it's a good party. No more wine. We're going home now." And they leave. So he's in a foreign country. He hires himself out to this guy, and he gets to feed pigs. Now, those of you that have worked with pigs and pigsties, it's not the cleanest business in the world, but it becomes especially troublesome to a Jewish audience to hear that a young man would be associating and working with pigs. Pigs are unclean in Jewish culture. So basically what Jesus is pointing out is this dude has hit rock bottom. He's got the worst job on the totem pole. The comparison that came to my mind was cleaning the porta potties at the fair after a weekend of people using the porta potties at the fair. That's kind of what I came up with as a comparison if we look at the 21st century. This man had hit rock bottom. So he's working with pigs, but even worse, it says that he longed to eat the pods that the pigs were eating. He wanted to eat pig food. He was so hungry, but it said no one gave him anything. This man had hit rock bottom. There was nowhere else to go but up. He was at the very, very bottom. No finances, no friends, no family in the area, and no food even. The thing about life is there are times when a person must hit rock bottom before they realize that there's a problem. They must hit rock bottom before they realize that something has to change. If you've had someone that you know who's gone through an addiction of some kind, or maybe you yourself have gone through an addiction, you recognize that until that person recognizes their need, your words don't mean much. Until that person hits rock bottom and they're willing to make a change, they recognize their need. And this man begins to realize what a predicament he is in. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So this wayward son begins to formulate a plan in his mind. He's going to go back to where his father is, but he's going to try to get in as one of the servants, pretty much. He's desperate, and this is the only place that he knows where to turn at this point. And so he starts rehearsing this little speech in his mind. He starts getting the right words ready so that he can speak to the father and at least find some place, even as a servant, in his household. But the story continues. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Notice that the father notices him before the son has even gotten into the front yard. That means that the father has been waiting for him, has been watching for him. And when the son comes there, he is so excited that this man runs to go meet his son. In the East, for an older man to run is not dignified. You just don't do that in the East as an older man. But this man doesn't care about dignity. What he sees is his lost son, and his son is coming towards him, and he runs to meet him. Just amazing show of love. And you know about that prepared speech. The son has been preparing this little speech. Well, he starts his speech, and the father doesn't even let him finish the speech, wrapping his arms around him, embracing him. Who knows what condition this young man was in? He may have been full of grime and dirt and all kinds of things. The father didn't care, but wrapped his arms lovingly around this wretched, dirty son who was right there in front of him. And then he sees his son, probably barefoot at this point, perhaps feet bleeding and hurt and wounded. And he says, bring these things, bring the ring, bring the robe, bring the shoes. You see, slaves are the ones who are barefoot, but not sons. And the sons are the ones who wear the ring and the robe and the sandals. And that's what this son was given. The son didn't get a chance to give his little rehearsed speech. The son was not required to earn his way back to the father. The father, in complete love, wraps his arms around the son and calls him back with rejoicing. With that in mind, I would suggest that a better title for this story would be The Prodigal Father. Remember that the word prodigal has to do with lavish, extravagant, and that's the type of love that I see this father pouring out on his undeserving, unworthy son is prodigal love, extravagant, lavish love, and therefore this prodigal father welcomes this son back into the fold with rejoicing. Now Jesus gives a contrast in this parable. There's been this story, this dynamic going on with the younger son, but then Jesus points out the older son. And this may have been troubling to the Pharisees who were listening, because it was no mistake what Jesus was doing, because he was talking about the sinners, but he was also talking about the Pharisees. Luke chapter 15, 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back and sound, safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with his friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Notice that the older brother doesn't even refer to him as the other kid, his brother. He says, this son of yours. There's an arrogance, there's a pride, also a bit of anger. He doesn't understand why the father is celebrating. He thinks it's unfair that he didn't even get a goat to celebrate with his friends, thinking that somehow the father is giving this celebration so the younger son can have another party. That wasn't the point. The point was a celebration that the son had returned. Absolutely incredible grace. And this older brother couldn't deal with the lavish love of the father. He might have been faithful in his duties, but the question is, did he have a relationship with the father? Or was it all about towing the line and doing the right thing? 1 Corinthians speaks, it says, without love, I am nothing. You could be highly talented, highly successful in many ways, but without love, you're nothing. So we see that this older son didn't have a relationship. Rather, he was relying upon his self-righteousness, and then he was jealous and angry when the father showed prodigal love to the younger son. So I ask you a question. Which son might you identify with in the parable? Maybe you found yourself wandering away from the Lord, and you wonder, is there any way that God would take me back? Or maybe you've come across a situation that seems so unfair as someone has been shown grace and mercy, and you say, it's not fair that they got such grace and mercy when I've tried to do my very best. The truth be told is there are times when we can identify with both of those sons. There are times when we have wandered away from the Lord, squandering the good gifts that our God has given to us, squandering them in selfish living. And there are other times when we have been self-righteous and prideful, pointing our fingers at those people over there, not willing to lift a hand to help them. And for that we say, Father, forgive us. Whatever son you might identify with at this moment, remember the prodigal, the lavish, the amazing love that the Father has for you. Our opening song is a really special song. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Talk about lavish love, that God would be willing to have the blood, the precious, priceless blood of his Son poured out for you. For you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Psalm 32, verse 1 says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. As we think about this story, we think about ourselves, that we also have been given an amazing robe of righteousness. We are no longer slaves, but sons, given the robe of righteousness. I love Isaiah 12, verse 1. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. And it is our amazing, lavish Lord who not only loves you and given you the robe of righteousness in your baptism, baptized into Christ, but he is the one who also desires that all people would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There are people in your neighborhood, there are people in our community that the Lord loves dearly. And as part of his family, he gives us his love, his lavish, extravagant love that pours over to share with others. I pray that the Lord would guide us as we remember his lavish love, that he would guide us this week to share his love with someone who is in need of extravagant love. We thank the Lord for our prodigal father who has lavished his love upon us. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.